You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, head to Dog Pound Drive, the free Cleveland Browns fan pregame. Don't miss live music, food trucks, a beer garden, and more. It's all happening next to First Energy Stadium, starting 3 hours before every home kickoff. Don't miss the next Dog Pound Drive pregame before the Browns and Buccaneers. The pregame starts at 10 a.m. on the south side of First Energy Stadium with music from the Billy Morris Band and DJ Steph Floss. The great Sashi Brown walking by in the hallways of Berea, ladies and gentlemen. Sashi Brown. All right. We're going to go get into the mailbag now here. But before we do that, there is one thing that you and I were just discussing that I think is very good. And I promise an update on Jordan Cameron. Jordan Cameron, concussion, has not been cleared from the protocol, will not practice today. I would say he is very iffy at best for this Sunday against the Buccaneers. Then he had the quick turnaround against Cincinnati. But as we were talking, the best beater of a cover two is a good pass-catching tight end who can either take him down the seam and hit that gap over the middle linebacker but in front of the safety, or, as you talked about, push that middle linebacker back and just stop and hit him on a hitch. This is the kind of defense where good tight ends thrive.
No, you're definitely right. And because that middle run through player is essentially, you know, it's exactly what it says, middle run through. So as he gets threatened vertically, he continues to grab depth, you know, kind of becoming it almost turns Tampa 2 into thirds because you have two half safeties and a middle linebacker running through the middle of the field as he's threatened. If there is no threat, he kind of, you know, chops his feet and just plays any routes underneath him and breaks up and makes the tackle. But again, having a solid, fast, tight end, you know, I had Antonio Gates in San Diego, who was great at Vernon Davis, Jermichael Finley in Green Bay. It's, again, if you get on that linebacker very quickly, you run right to the middle of the field, you kind of run up the hashes and then bend in right behind him where you see Jimmy Graham make so many catches, especially seeing Tampa Bay twice a year. And also, too, is you can run and mimic that same route, and then you kind of like just stop, and it's like an 8-yard turnaround right in between the hashes because you're threatening that middle linebacker, that middle run-through player who can't get run by, and his responsibility is the middle of the field. So he's tempoing his drop, maintaining about 2.5 to 3 yards worth of a cushion between the receiver and himself. And then Jordan Cameron, in this case, would turn around immediately at, again, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 yards. And you just, Brian Hoyer would put it right on him. And so much so that the Will linebacker, backside in this case, David, can't overlap and make that play. It would essentially be a catch tackle, but in most cases, a first down.
You've got to be careful, though, and watch Lavonte David in the middle of the field. The last 2 years. Got to be careful for him. Definitely a playmaker. I don't think he'll drop it like C.O. Moore did last week. All right, let's update finally on the rest of the injuries for the Browns. Actually, pretty good news. Cameron, as I said, out with the concussion today. Jim Leonard could be limited with an ankle. Rodney Smith, hamstring. Phil Taylor, knee. Probably still not ready. Joe Thomas getting a Veterans Day of rest. And Kaywan Williams, shoulder and neck. Good news is Billy Wint not on this injury report. He will be able to go this week, which is nice considering John Hughes got knocked out with that knee injury last week. So good timing to get him back for the Cleveland Browns. All right, let's bring in Emmett Golden and dip into the mailbag here on a Mailbag Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
All right, guys, Kyle wants to know, should Jordan Cameron just forget about Sunday and rest up and try to get cleared for the Bengals game next Thursday?
You know, I don't know what your experience with concussions has been, Matt, and you can get into that in a second. But for me, it's about his health first and foremost. This is his third concussion since December of 2012. And that stuff is no joke. I think if he needs to take 2 games, 3 games, 4 games, whatever it is, you know, Jordan Cameron should be back when Cameron is cleared and is not risking any permanent cognitive damage coming off of a concussion, as far as I see. And if that's bad for the Browns, that's really unfortunate. But at the same time, you got to worry about this is a serious issue. And I think the more we're learning about concussions, the more we're learning just how serious they are. And so to me, Jordan Cameron's health absolutely comes first. And I did reach out to him, and he got back to me saying, you know, he's doing well and, you know, he's working to get back. But at the same time, he's in the league's protocol. It's out of his hands anyway.
You're right. And everything you said is exactly spot on. And so everybody knows the protocol that Nathan's essentially talking about is there's a baseline test. And what it is, it's a computer test that you take that's about 25 minutes long that tests your memory between numbers and letters and shapes. It's all about, you know, reconnaissance and recognition and remembering things throughout this test as you're asked. It's about 25 minutes long. So and for a long time prior to this NFL protocol, guys would either skip the test or fly through the test and just get a bunch of wrong answers, which did no diligence to the test when they actually had a concussion. So what's going to be happened is neurologically, Jordan Cameron is going to be, you know, viewed and seen by the doctors each and every day to evaluate where he is at. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has to take that baseline test, which is their only way of truly understanding if he's cognitively, you know, back intact, you know, mentally. And so every single day he'll have to take that test, and I'm sure there's a margin that he has to be within. The test that he probably took in August or in the off season, maybe in June, where he was completely fine, that is his baseline. He has to get back within a certain percentage of that mark to be cleared, and then also to even more so. Sorry to rattle on.
Symptoms or setbacks.
Exactly.
After that.
It's, you know, the sensitivity to light. He still, you know, he might be able to pass that test, but he still has sensitivity to light, which will make it very difficult to play, you know, or practice. Or sometimes when you run or you take another impact, the jarring brings back your symptoms. And lastly is the headaches associated with concussions. If those aren't clear, you want a clear-headed, 100% healthy Jordan Cameron to be able to actively participate and help you on the field. The last thing you want is to have him active and up and be a part of our game plan and him get hurt after one hit in the first quarter, and then he's out, and then we're relying on Barnage and Dre. You know, so in this case, 100% with you on board with the fact that you've just got to see through this process. It's unfortunate. And when he can pass those tests and he personally feels like he's 100%, he will be back in a Browns uniform for sure.
And you feel for him, a guy, you know, in a contract year. And
he's already missed games.
He's missed games already. Yeah, it's just a tough situation for Jordan Cameron. We certainly wish him a speedy recovery. All right. Let's go into the mailbag again, Emmett. What else we got?
Justin wants to know, or he says that his concern with Tampa is their 6'5 receivers and tight ends on our smaller corners, and he would like to know your thoughts on that situation.
Got to climb the tree.
You got to climb the tree. The good news is that you've got Joe Hayden, who, while he may not be big, has historically played his best against bigger receivers because he is a physical corner. He likes to get his hands on you. He does a better job with bigger receivers, taller guys like A.J. Green, Calvin Johnson. He has played very well against his career. Jordy Nelson, he plays very well against. He has more trouble to me with the smaller, shiftier receivers who can get away from him. The bigger guys can't do that as well. So I think Joe Hayden will be fine. I think Buster Screen on the other side is going to be giving up a lot of size, and we've seen historically that has been tough for Buster. So I think in this game, matchup specific, you could see more Justin Gilbert out there on Mike Evans with Buster moving inside to the slot, or maybe there'll be times even when there are two DBs that you'll see Gilbert just because of that size disparity. Because as we saw with Jimmy Graham, who's Vincent Jackson is not Jimmy Graham, because Jimmy Graham's just a little bit bigger, a little bit more physical. But we saw Joe Hayden have those problems. When you get that guy one-on-one, especially in the red zone, you just throw it up, they box out, and they're able to catch it. So I think Hayden's going to be okay, but I do think we could see more Gilbert in the game plan to combat their size.
And one other great point, again, is we're going to get a rookie corner, Justin Gilbert, versus rookie wide receiver. You know, you're not seeing a very polished wide receiver, probably doesn't run the best routes, especially as a big guy. And if we recall, Justin Gilbert, when called upon against Marquise Lee or Allen Robinson in the Jaguars game, he played his best. And I think a lot of that is because it felt a lot more like college
for
him,
sure,
which is where he had such a great career.
No question about it. We got one more in the mailbag. Emmett, what do we got?
Nick tweets the show, and he says, without saying Alex Mack, how do the Browns fix the run? That's the number one worry to him.
Yeah, to me, I see it this way. I see when you look at fixing the run, we talked about it, I thought, at length yesterday. Some scheme elements, moving guys around, maybe going a little bit more jumbo, bringing in an extra lineman like a Vincent Painter, maybe spreading them out and keeping fewer guys in the box so you can't get 8 or 9 by kind of widening the field and creating those running lanes. I think it's about that. It's about holding the edge. The tight ends have to do a better job blocking at the edge. You know, I'd like to see a little more crow, so some personnel things. But to me, it's about the fundamentals and really getting a hat on a hat, pushing guys, not getting blown back, and being able to set the edge. Because if you're running the outside zone, if you don't have the edge, the play is in many ways dead on arrival.
Right, and one last point that I'd like to make, you know, on top of the innovation that I talked about yesterday in the run game to kind of break trend and find something, is maybe there's something on in Tampa Bay's defense, because this is a copycat league, that a team has had success with running the football at a certain player or at on a certain down and distance, where we'll be able to copy that and mimic that certain run. It might not be within our zone scheme, but at this point, it's been stopped two consecutive weeks in a row against aggressive defensive fronts. So what we have to do is we have to look at that film and see, okay, where have teams had success? What type of concept have they used to have that success, and maybe build it into our offense however we so see it.
That's what you got to do. We got to get it going. That's what we need here on the ground. And hopefully you can do that against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, giving up over 120 per game on the ground. Browns need to get that going. And, yes, Alex Mack, big loss there, but there are things that can be done. When we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, will address the media as his team gets back to work here on this Wednesday in preparation for the Buccaneers. I will be out after this segment.
Peace.
It will be Matt Wilhelm and Michael Red Guy with you here in the second hour of the show. So thank you so much for tuning in, and stay tuned here to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And don't forget, tonight on TV, Sports Time Ohio, 7 o'clock, you can get Inside the Cleveland Browns, special Halloween edition at 7:30 Sunday Strategy with myself and Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon.
I will be setting the timer on the alarm on my phone to make sure I'm tuned in for that. You Browns fans should do the
same. If anybody listening right now is a fan of the Macho Man Randy Savage, you definitely don't want to miss tonight's Inside the Cleveland Browns. At least I hope not. Anyway, I think you'll enjoy it. All right, we'll be back with the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine.